Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Before we start today, we'd like to encourage anyone looking for help with their digital marketing to get in touch with Site Visibility. Whether you have a burning digital marketing question, or you're looking for an agency to work with, they'd love to hear from you. Give them a call on +44 1273 733 433, or you can fill out the form at sitevisibility.co.uk/contact, or you can speak to Scott or Sean via the live chat function on the site. They'd be happy to help. Now today I'm joined by Tim Fargo, author, keynote speaker, entrepreneur and founder of Social Jukebox. Tim, how are you?
Andy, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
It's an absolute pleasure, Tim. Now you're geographically situated in Poland, aren't you? Even despite the American accent.
I am indeed.
What's the weather doing over there? I have to ask.
It's about 26 Celsius, so it's a nice day. It was a bit warm yesterday. It was about 32. When you're in an inland city, that's a bit hot. But yeah.
It's about the same here. It's been very nice here as well in Brighton. So you're originally from the US. Whereabouts in the US are you from originally?
I grew up in Ohio, but I've spent most of my life living in the Sun Belt, principally Florida.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. Okay, so let's start off as usual. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Tim, and how Social Jukebox came about and what it is.
Well, I've been somewhat entrepreneurial my whole life. You know, the kind of newspaper delivery, shovel snow, used to buy groceries for people that didn't feel like walking to the store.
Yeah.
Anything that somebody would pay me for that was legal. And that was probably just a byproduct of my dad being unwilling to part with money. So if you wanted it, you had to go find it. And so, you know, I've done a whole bunch of things. And for anybody who's listening that is trying something, if it's not going well, believe me, before I did things that went well, I did a lot of things that went really poorly. So that was kind of my – I did all those things, and I think they kind of trained me for future success. And I had a business that I sold in 2003, and then after doing a bunch of projects – in 2013, I actually finally came out with a book that I'd been toying around with the idea of. And then I was trying to promote the book on social media. I got super sick of spending time coordinating posts because I just viewed it as monkey work. You know, it doesn't add any value to the person receiving it. So I ended up reaching out to the guy that used to be head of IT for my old company that I'd sold. And he built me an application that automated my posting to social media. And that product ultimately became Social Jukebox, which is what I'm doing these days.
I love the name, by the way, Social Jukebox. Is that, does it behave like a jukebox effectively?
It does. It actually probably the preferred metaphor is it's a little bit like a rotating hourglass.
Yeah.
You know, the each jukebox is a database, so to speak, of content. And people typically put different kinds of content in their different jukeboxes, and they have different posting frequencies for each one. And then when all the content in that jukebox is posted, it recycles and starts over again. So, I mean, that's the basic elements of how it works.
So basically, it's an automated sort of posting mechanism for social media, isn't it?
And that's That's correct.
Yeah. I was just wondering, what are the sort of typical patterns of social media posting that Social Jukebox automates, and what are the benefits of posting in these ways?
I think the biggest things are that consistency is really a key, no matter what platform you're on. I mean, I don't care if it's – I mean, we're on the big three, which is Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And on any of those platforms, or any of the others for that matter, I mean, if you're not fairly consistent in your posting, I mean, and presuming that you're not a celebrity, people just disappear, you know, because it's like they don't see your campfire lit, so to speak, and yeah. Then they'll drift away. So the purpose of the tool is that it allows you to plan. I mean, everyone talks about we're all our own media company now. Well, you know, I mean, what do media companies do? Media companies have an editorial calendar, and they know what they're going to do before they do it. I'm not saying there's not room for ad hoc doing things where, you know, you surf a trend or whatever that's going on Twitter or Facebook. But in general, it's a great idea to know what you want to be promoting in advance and have it kind of laid out. And that's what the tool really allows you to do, is plan your sort of posting schedule so that you know what's going to be going out before the date arrives. And it allows you, again, it allows you that consistency. It allows you to kind of stay on message, so you know roughly what's going to be going out and when. And those really, I mean, those fundamental elements are, in many ways, I mean, of course you have to have content that somebody actually cares about.
Yeah.
But having it out there often enough and frequent enough that people, you know, that you stay top of mind is really important.
Mm. Now, I know that you mentioned that you do the three platforms, so that's Facebook, Twitter. Well, Twitter was the first one, wasn't it? And then Facebook and LinkedIn. I was just wondering, how do those, in terms of the messages, obviously Twitter used to be 140 characters, now it's 280, so it's still fairly short form. But how do those three social media platforms sort of differ in terms of the best posting strategies?
Well, Twitter is clearly the more ephemeral of the three.
Yeah.
So you can get away with much higher posting rates on Twitter. And Twitter, from almost anybody I've ever spoken to, ends up being a little bit of a kind of a hub, a sort of connection point between people and other platforms they're using, whether, you know, YouTube or, I mean, even Instagram, whatever. I mean, a lot of people get found and redirected to other content via Twitter. So to me, that's – and one of the things, I mean – the reason I was on Twitter from the beginning, and one of the reasons I love Twitter still today, is that it's pretty much an open field. There are no fences. I mean, you can follow anyone and interact with anyone. There are no real barriers, unless somebody finds you annoying and blocks you.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I mean, so that's kind of a wide open field. Facebook is more of a place to me that, you know, there are people who just kind of are resident there. I mean, they do a lot of their communicating and interacting and restaurant looking up. And
yeah.
I mean, Facebook's kind of an ecosystem unto itself.
Yes.
Longer form posts. So, you know, but much less frequent. I mean, if you were to post, you know, 30, 40 times a day on a place like Facebook, I mean, you would just be viewed as highly annoying.
Yes. It's funny, actually, because you mentioned that a lot of people are resident on Facebook. A lot of the people in Brighton are resident on Facebook while walking down the street, and they tend to walk into you. Now, LinkedIn's an interesting one, because I just get the feeling that LinkedIn, certainly a while ago, was not really seen as a particularly big sort of social platform. But it's changed, doesn't it? Is it still evolving, LinkedIn?
I think it's evolving. And I mean, like all these platforms, I mean, like LinkedIn for particular people is extremely relevant. I mean, I have a friend of mine who's like a career coach.
Yeah.
And for him, LinkedIn is a completely natural marriage, because there's a ton of people who are at that crossroads, or at least contemplating being at that crossroads. I mean, to me, that's from my own perspective, that seems to be the nature of LinkedIn. There are people who spend more time there. It is kind of like maybe their business community, like a business Facebook, so to speak, although Facebook has those features as well.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people, when they really start beating the ground looking for work and stuff, they tend to migrate towards LinkedIn. And then if they complete the transition, then they maybe, you know, they kind of fade back from it. But, you know, different people love different platforms for different reasons. So, I mean, I say that, but I mean, I know people who just absolutely swear by LinkedIn. I'm not a big LinkedIn person, even though the platform, you know, Social Jukebox services that. I don't do a ton of stuff with LinkedIn myself, but I certainly know people who do.
And are the blog posts on LinkedIn generally longer form than Facebook?
Well, you have a couple things. I mean, you have your sort of inline posts and those tend to be longer form for sure. But I think you find different points of resonance. And I mean, one of the things I've encouraged people to do when I've written articles about social media is very often your best bet as kind of a newbie is to stick to things that are fairly bite-sized until you establish a bit of a rapport with your audience. You know, because I mean, if you put out like a 10-page article, I mean, it might be brilliant, right? But that's a pretty big ask, unless it's a really, really a stunning article.
Yes.
You know, so, I mean, on all the social platforms, I mean, trust is really the thing that you're building. You know, like when I came out with a book, I mean, I thought, oh, I came out with a book. That's awesome. But the reality is, forget about selling a book. Getting anyone to even read your content is a huge challenge. So in terms of, you know, going back to what you were asking, like, post length, I encourage people to try to put out like concise list type things that people can digest very quickly.
Yes.
And then you can start interspersing like some shorter blog posts into that, linking to things like that, either on your own site or if you want to write a post on actual LinkedIn, or, you know, you want to write kind of a short post on Facebook or something like that. But it's, from my perspective, until you get some traction, it's a good idea to give people some basic facts and get them to know who you are and kind of trust you as a voice.
You mentioned that when you were first in the early days, Social Jukebox was just a tool, wasn't it, that you were using like a private tool. But you then went on and offered it as a service. I was just wondering, what was the process behind that? How did that go from a sort of more of an entrepreneurial perspective?
Well, I started out, as I mentioned, I was trying to sell my book. And once I started posting pretty much around the clock using the tool, I got a lot more questions about the tool than I did about my book.
Really?
So being a reasonably decent entrepreneur, I was like, well, you know, you don't get any rewards in life for doing the thing that's hard. So take the easy route. People seem more interested in this because it was solving a more expedient or urgent problem, I suppose. And so, you know, we just went through a progression. I mean, first we just kind of gave it away as a freebie. We did that for a few months and we signed up 20 some thousand people. And then came the moment of truth, though. You know, I mean, it's always great to, like, you know, when you have a free product, it can be very exhilarating to go, well, there's so many people that are using it. Then it's like, then you put up the payment gateway and you see how many people really love you.
It's normally about 1%, isn't it?
We actually, so what would it have been? We got like 2.5.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, we got about a little over 500 people signed up in the first week. And since then, you know, we've grown up. So now we have a couple thousand. But I mean, it was fun. And I have to say, it's a very odd business for a guy that, I don't know, spent part of his life as being a bit of a salesman, you know, face-to-face salesman. Being an internet entrepreneur is very, very different. So there was a bit of adaptation there. But because of the geography that we talked about earlier, like being in Europe during the summer and being in Florida in the winter, things like that, it suits me quite well because I can do what I do from anywhere.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So a lot of our listeners are small businesses. Some of them are one-man bands. They're all probably going to be fairly interested in, you know, the different ways of posting to the three main social media sites. Tim, what would your key takeaway be for our audience today in that regard?
I would say, you know, the critical piece to automation isn't so that you cannot, so you can avoid spending time on social media. I would say the critical piece of using a tool like Social Jukebox is taking the time that you would have spent manually posting and redirect that into providing content that resonates with your audience. Because ultimately, that is what will drive your business. That's what will drive people to your business. If you can become a helpful voice for whoever your target audience is, you know, that's really the key. But the mechanical aspects of posting, as I mentioned before, you know, even why I built the tool, I mean, to me, there is nothing that you will do that will make your clients happier because you're posting in a particular way. I mean, automating it, as long as it's evergreen content, makes total sense. But again, taking that time to crafting content that really helps your audience do whatever it is that, you know, is kind of their like ideal world, or, you know, what, you know, help them to their goals.
Yeah. As a great spiritual leader once said, if you cast your bread upon the waters, back will come tuna and mayonnaise sandwiches. And it sounds social jukebox actually helps you to sort of get the bread out into the water, doesn't it? Sort of automates it for you.
Yeah, and I think anytime, you know, whether it's in social media or anything, I mean, I think anytime you can find ways to eliminate busy work, so that you can stay focused in on things that actually kind of move the needle in your particular business.
Yeah,
I mean, that's really a key. And it's super easy, though, to fall into some of those mechanical things are really fun. Like I'm fiddling with my phone or fiddling with a website doing something, and it's sort of make-believe work. You know, the favorite of procrastinators everywhere, and I speak from personal experience in a big way. It's like, I have a project to do, but first let me clean the kitchen.
yes.
I'm going to write a blog post, but this table really needs organizing. So, you know, I think getting like offloading things like that that are necessary, and, you know, they twist that argument of, well, of course I need to do this. But there's things like that that you can hand off so you can get back to the business at hand.
Yes, I must clean the garage, but first I must polish my headphones. Now, you've written a couple of books, haven't you? Tell us about your books.
Well, the first book I wrote when, way back when, I was in the investigative business. That was the business I sold in 2003. And we did insurance investigations and, you know, talking about content that matters to your audience. One of the problems I noticed as the owner of the company, because we had a couple hundred investigators, we got a lot of assignments where people didn't really assign cases on the right kind of people. I mean, they were getting annoyed with someone and then having them investigated instead of looking at like real red flags and things like that. So they were misusing what we did, which led to two things, like them being frustrated that we didn't get quote unquote results. And then it was frustrating for our investigators, because if you send them out on somebody who's really hurt, because most of our cases were bodily injury claims, then it's boring, right? You know, I mean, A true fraud case can be fun because the person's out, you know, in a rodeo or something like that. And that's a much more interesting story to tell and much more interesting case to work. Yeah. So by writing a book about called Claimants, Lies, and Videotape, which was about using investigations, we tried to move our clients into a more informed decision making of using our product and how to use it and interact and get their best bang for their buck. Mm. And that was a great Trojan horse, to be honest. I mean, I ended up speaking at conferences all over the U.S. I ended up speaking in claims offices all over the U.S. and we got a ton of business out of that. So that was my first foray, kind of a nonfiction instructional book. Mm. And then Alphabet Success, which was my second book, was really it's a series of acronyms, and they're all pretty basic business lessons. They fall in the category of things that you probably know, but then they're things that you know, but are you doing them?
Yeah.
And that probably is the key element of that book. Is there's a lot of things in there that I view as fundamental things that are super important to do, but are often overlooked. I mean, right down to like things like thank you notes and how, you know, people are like, well, I sent an email. It's like, yeah. You know, and I mean, as an example, I use an example in the book. I mean, I bought a Lexus and, you know, I didn't even get so much as a note from this person after making, you know, over $50,000 purchase. And this is many years ago. Mm. So call it $100,000 now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wasn't expecting like them to pour their soul out to me, but, you know, a little, hey, I really appreciate your business and love to see you, you know, in 3, 4, 5 years, whenever you want to come back and buy another car. But there's a lot of little things like that. So that was that book.
Amazing. So presumably these books are still available at normal channels?
Claimants, Lies, and Videotape, that book actually got sold when I sold my company.
Oh.
But I didn't really have any need for it once the company was gone.
Sure, yeah.
But Alphabet Success is still on Amazon in America and in the UK and Europe.
Fantastic. And how can our listeners find out more about you and Social Jukebox?
You can go to the site, socialjukebox.com. Anybody that wants to check me out, I mean, the easiest place to find me is Twitter. And my handle is @Tim_Fargo, F-A-R-G-O. And if anyone ever has a question or, you know, question like for me personally or about Social Jukebox, you can reach me at tim@socialjukebox.com. And that goes directly to me. You will not get a response from an assistant. You'll get a response from me.
From the real man himself. Well, Tim, Yes. Thanks. Thanks for coming on so much. And thanks for listening, all of our listeners. Show notes will be in the usual place, sitevisibility.co.uk/IMpodcast. Please leave a review if you're enjoying the show. That'd be fantastic. If you want to contact us with questions or suggestions, email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet @sitevisibility. We have a site visibility group on LinkedIn. That's all from me, Andy. And it's all from Tim.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tim, and we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.